the portion, the beginning of the portion basically has three things to look at. It tells you about the commandments, know them, speak them, and do them. Three things. Know them, speak them, and do them. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. And that's the know them portion. So let's read it over. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the mitzvot of Adonai your God that I am commanding you today, but the curse, if you do not listen to the mitzvot of Adonai your God, but turn away the way I'm commanding you today to go after other gods you have not known. So that first word was there. See, that's the name of our Torah portion, Ria. But this see is more than just a see with your eyes. It's even more than just a hear with your ears. Now, certain versions don't use the word see. They use behold. And I like behold because it adds more emphasis to it. It gives more importance to it. Behold makes you pay attention, right? And it tells us these words that are coming are important. So don't let them just hit your ear. Don't even let them just get into your mind, but make them a part of you. Study them. Put them inside of yourself. Now, Yeshua gave us an example of this in John 6. Now, in John 6, 48, he's talking about himself as being the bread. Let's take a look. Yeshua says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give to the world, which I will give for the life of the world. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. You hear that? Abide. It's the need to abide with him. And he says, eat the bread. Now, what happens when you eat? You eat it, take it in, it becomes part of you. Your body breaks it down. And it becomes a part of you. Once you eat it, you can't separate it again. It's a part of you. And that's exactly what we need to do with the words, with the commandments that he's giving us. We need to take them in, digest them, and make them a part of who we are. Now, we also see in that scripture, in verse 27, Shema. And we've heard Shema a lot, right? Listen. Over the last couple of weeks, it seems like Shema keeps coming up. And it's so important to listen. For Proverbs 1:5, let the wise listen and increase learning, and the discerning obtain wise counsel. The wise listen and they increase learning. What the commandments are about. Listen to them. Increase your learning. James 1:19 says, know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to listen. The number one thing to do, be quick to listen. And then everything else, slow to speak, slow to anger. How many know that if you're always talking, you're never learning? Right? You can't be the one always talking and think you're going to learn from yourself. Doesn't work that way. So that's the no, right? That's the no. Let's move on. It was know them, then speak them. So let's go back to our scripture, Deuteronomy 11, and we'll read 29 and 30. Now when Adonai your God brings you into the land you are going to possess, you are to set the blessing on Mount Gerizim and curses on Mount Ebal. Are they not across the Jordan towards the west in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the Arabah opposite Gilgal besides the oaks of Moriah? The Israelites were told to set the blessings on the mountains. But how were they to set the blessings? It's a strange little word there. Set the blessings on the mountain. Well, we're told how to set them. We're told to speak them out. And this is shown us in Deuteronomy 12, 11 through 15. And it says there, Moses commanded the people on the day, saying, when you have crossed over the Jordan, these are to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. For the curses, they are to stand on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Then the Levites are to answer and say with a loud voice to every man of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to Adonai, the work of a craftsman's hand, and sets it up in secret. Then all the people are answer, Amen. They were to speak the curses. They were to say them out loud. And all the people were to hear them and acknowledge it with an Amen. Because that's how they would know them. You don't know them if someone doesn't speak them. Right? Blessed is the one who goes forth with the word, because how else would they hear unless they speak them out, unless they go to them and speak them out. So it's important that they speak them so that they know them and would understand them. Because once they know them and understand them, then they have no excuses. Then they should know them and follow them. And that's the point. So by speaking them out, it also gives the blessings and the curses some power and authority, because the words have that power and authority. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in control of the tongue. Those who indulge in it eat its fruit. Death and life, controlled by the tongue, and those who indulge eat its fruit. It doesn't say just the good fruit. The good fruit, if they follow the blessings and follow the commandments. The bad fruit, if they break them and don't follow them. So he wanted to tell. It's another, Titus 3 tells us another reason to say it out loud. Now Titus is Rav Shaul writing to Titus, and he says, remind the people to be submitted to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to slander no one without fighting, gentle, showing every courtesy of the people. Remind the people, right? They were standing on the mountains, and they were being reminded because it was being spoken out. People don't remember. You know, how often do you need to be reminded? Me? I need to be reminded a lot. Never mind just about the word. The word is getting in me. Tell me something over on a Shabbat, and by Monday I need to be reminded. Right? We need to be reminded. We're people. We need to be reminded. But how good is it to be reminded of the word of God? Why do we read daily? To remind, to learn, to soak it in, to make it a part of us. Why do we come on Shabbat? To glory God, to sing out praises, but to be reminded of his word, to review the Torah portion so that we learn from it, be reminded about it. I can't tell you how many times, even since we've had I've been here and I've gone to the Torah for today and the Torah talk, someone said something. Yeah, now I remember that. I knew that, but now you're reminding me. It's great to be reminded. We need to be reminded. They were told, speak out the curses. And on the other one, speak out the blessings. Because you want to hear both. Let me tell you something. Half a message has no authority. You have to have the full message. Everyone wants just the good, just the good, just the good. But what happens if you only hear the good? It's a half message. It doesn't teach. Say to a child, don't touch the stove. That child is going to eventually touch the stove. Say to the child, don't touch the stove because you're going to get burnt. It makes a bigger impact, doesn't it? Have the child repeat back, why shouldn't you touch the stove? I shouldn't touch the stove because I'm going to get burnt. Now it's getting in there. Now it's being ingrained, right? Those with children shaking their head. I have to have them say it over and over and over before they learn the lesson. I have to say it to them over and over and over before they learn the lesson. They have to be reminded. You have to speak it out. Commandments of the Lord are the same way. We have to speak them out so that we're reminded. So, that's the know. That's the speak. Now we get to the do. Deuteronomy 11:31-32. For you're about to cross over the Jordan to go in to possess the land Adonai your God has given you. You will possess it and dwell in it, and you will take care to do all the statutes and ordinances that I'm setting before you today. Moses is saying, a little music there. Moses is saying, you will cross. You will take possession. You will dwell. You will take care to do what I'm telling you to do. Right? He's making a proclamation. You will do. Let's take a look at a child again. Child, can you tell the child, you will go to your room. You will clean your room, and you will not give me attitude. Boy, if it only worked that easy. But the fact is, you're making a proclamation for that child to do. And Moses is making a proclamation for his children to do. You will do this. You will do this. You will do this. Now, unfortunately, they didn't do this, they didn't do this, and they didn't do this. And the curses came upon them eventually. Good news is, when they do start doing and doing and doing, the blessings will come. There are a lot of things that keep you from doing. You yourself and your flesh keep you from doing. There are people around you who will keep you from doing. The world will keep you from doing. So what do? You have to ask yourself these questions. I've got three questions for you. Will you do, even if it means destroying what's pleasant to the eye? Let's go to Deuteronomy 12:1. Right? We've read the end of 11. Let's go to the beginning of 12. They're connected here. So 12:1-3, these are the statutes and ordinances that you are to make sure to do in the land that Adonai your God of your fathers has given you to possess, all the days that you live on the earth. You must utterly destroy all the places where the nations that you will dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You are to tear down their altars, smash their pillars, burn their Asherah poles in the fire, and cut down the carved images of their gods. And you are to obliterate their name from that place. You are to destroy all those things. And let me tell you something. What do people do when they have gods, even false gods? What do they do when they want to honor them? They make pretty. Right? They make their best. Things are put into museums currently that were meant to honor false gods because they're pretty, because they're different, because they're pleasing to the eye. There are many things of the world that are bling, 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 that are pretty to the eye. But are you willing to destroy them because God tells you he doesn't want them in your life? John, 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the boasting of life is not from the Father, but from the world. Are you willing to destroy them? They are not to be in your life, but they're pretty. But they're not to be in your life, but they're beautiful, they're historic, they're this, they're that. Everyone has them, but they're not to be in your life. Are you willing to put an end to them to your life? That's one of the things that will stop you from following commandments. Second question I have for you. Will you do even when you've not seen the end of God's plan for you? How many know God does not download the whole plan for you all at once? Little by little. Start walking. But I don't know what's over there. Just keep walking. But God, I trust you, but I don't know what's over there. Just keep walking, he says. You know, do you trust God? Let's go to Deuteronomy 12:5-7. You are not to act like this towards Adonai your God. Rather, you are to seek only the place Adonai your God chooses from all your tribes to put its name to dwell. There you will come. There you are to bring your burnt offering and your sacrifices, your tithes, your offerings of your hand, your vow, your freewill offering, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There you and your households will eat before Adonai your God and rejoice in everything undertaking of your hand, as Adonai your God has blessed you there. Now, you're going to go to the place Adonai your God chooses. That means he hasn't told you it yet. Are you going to go to the place Adonai your God chooses, even if he hasn't shown it to you yet? It's not an easy thing to do. Abraham did it. He was with Dad. God told him, leave your family, leave what you're comfortable with, and set out. But it's not an easy thing to do. But you have to trust God. If you believe God is God, then you have to trust that God is God, that he knows the beginning and the end, and he has your best. So, Exodus 23:28-30. I will send the hornet's nest before you, which will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in a single year. Otherwise, the land would become desolate, and the animals of the field will multiply against you. But little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you are fruitful. Then you possess the land. Little by little. Maybe you see the hornets already moving out before you. Little by little. Are you going to trust that those little by little by little steps that you're taking go to the goal that God has planned for you? Do you have the faith to take the step one after the other after the other? Because that's what it's all about. That's when you're going to reach the goal. You're not going to reach the goal by standing in one place. If God says move forward, you need to take the steps. You need to trust in his timing as well. You know, if he says step now, now's the time to step. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He will, because he loved you. But you have to trust. And it's not a half a trust. You have to have full trust. Third question. Will you do even when it's different than what's happening currently? I'm doing it this way now. I don't really want to change. That can stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Deuteronomy 12:8-10. Back to our text. You will not do all the things as we are doing here today, everyone doing what is right in his own eyes, for you have not yet come to the resting place and the inheritance that Adonai your God has given you. But when you cross over the Jordan and settle in the land that Adonai your God enables you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies around you, you will dwell in safety. Don't do what you're doing now. Don't think the things that are acceptable now are going to be acceptable when you get to where he wants you to be. Don't think the habits that you have now are going to be okay as he purifies you and makes you holier than you currently are. You are a work in progress. You're not done yet. I'm not done yet. I am a work in progress. And the things that I do now, hopefully, will be different than the things I do even in a year. Because he's working on me to make me holier. He's working on me to make me further separated from the world. And I praise God for that. Because I do not want to be part of the world. I want to be part of him. He's doing the same thing to you, whether you know it or not. Whether you accept it or not, he's making changes. And are you willing to not do the things you're doing today and do differently tomorrow? Now, some of the things you're doing today are okay, and you're going to be able to keep doing them. I'm not saying that. But there are going to be new things tomorrow that you're going to have to do in order to follow his plan and follow his commandments for you. You may not know what's best for you, but God does. Jeremiah 29:11, verse we all know. For I know the plans that I have in mind for you, declares Adonai, plans for shalom and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. He knows, you need to trust that he knows. How many people know the Yiddish saying, man plans, God laughs? Well, another way of saying that is, man proposes, God disposes. Or, you don't know, so you can't plan. How many times have you gone to a child and said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a fireman. I want to be an astronaut. Child doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know the experiences he's going to have. He doesn't know his finances. He doesn't know his education. He doesn't even know if he's going to live another couple of years. I'm the same way. I don't know what experiences God has in store for me. I don't know my finances. I don't know what education I'm going to have. And I don't know how long I'm going to live. So, whose plan do I think is probably going to be better? The one who doesn't know or the one who knows? I'm going to trust in the one who knows. Amen. And all of this leads up to joy. When we follow the command of the Lord, there's joy at the end. That's where he's bringing us. Back to Deuteronomy 11 and 12. And it will lead, when the place Adonai your God chooses to make his name dwell, there you are to bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, your offerings on your hand, and all your finest vow offerings that you vow to Adonai. Then you will rejoice before Adonai your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your slaves, your maids, your Levites of your towns, for he has, and the Levites of your town, for he has no portion or inheritance among you. Rejoice before Adonai, yay! I will rejoice before Adonai as long as I follow his plan and his commandments. And this rejoice is more than just satisfaction of a good job done. More than a pat on the back, well done, my son. It's a co-abiding with Father. It's a it's even more than co-abiding. It's with him forever. It's an eternity of being with him. John 15 says, just as the Father has loved me. Now this is Yeshua speaking. Should have put him in red. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's an example for you. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Wow. It's Yeshua's joy that's going to be in us. The one who is perfect, his perfect joy is going to be our joy. It's a perfect joy that we're expecting. It's a perfect joy that we are promised. It's a perfect joy that we know we're going to obtain. How much better can it be? How much better can it be? So what do we do now? We anticipate the joy by being joyful. Not everything's going to be wonderful and hunky-dory all the time. In the physical, there are challenges. In the physical, there are hurts and there are pains. But in my spirit, I have joy, 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 everlasting. Because I know that to come, I have eternal joy exactly like the Father's and Yeshua's. I couldn't ask for better than that. I don't think you can either. Because why should we? It's eternal, perfect joy that comes with the following of the commandments. Messiah Yeshua said it's his joy. And I'm okay with that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your promise of the joy